Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combat's the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts and fitness. I'm your host, Johnny K, and today we're joined by a bare knuckle boxer fighting in the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. He's on the rise. Please welcome to the show, Jake Brutal Bostwick. How are you today, Jake?
I'm doing very well, mate. Thank you so much. I appreciate the awesome intro. I'm doing good, mate. How are you?
All good. So I wanted to ask you about what you posted the other day. So you're 16 years of age and you're fighting across from a 24-year-old who's 6'4", and you wanted to add on purpose that you're also sitting your exams around the same time. So you're fighting him in the cage. Can you tell me the story that led to this? And were you intimidated during this time in your life, or did you not care?
Honestly, like, I was a young kid, and I was always in fights and scrapping as a youngster, mate, like at school and whatever. Like, I don't know, I was just a tough youngster, mate. I was playing rugby and stuff, and then the fight opportunity popped up, and honestly, obviously it's not nothing to be proud of, but by the age of 16, I'd had a lot of street fights, you know. I'd had a lot of, dealt with a lot of little other problems, so I'd had a lot of fights and stuff, so it was just kind of in me. And then the fight opportunity popped up, and I accepted the fight. Bro, I remember getting paid $100. Remember getting paid $100 or £100. And it's crazy, mate. I was a kid, I was at school doing my exams, I was doing my GCSEs, but yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even explain it. It was like, I look back on it and think about it now, and it is kind of surreal. It is crazy. A little start to my story anyway.
Those street fights that you did as a kid, now you're kind of in a position where you're kind of doing professional street fighting in bare knuckle boxing. So do you feel more comfortable in the bare knuckle ring than doing MMA? Or, because I know you did say that it was very hard for you to transition, seeing that you had an MMA base, to the new boxing endeavor.
Honestly, the MMA side of things, obviously, you know, still scared of fighting. You know, every time I fight, I step in, I'll be confident or not, but there's still something in you that's still a little scared, because, you know, it's still risky, whatever it is. But when it comes to the bare knuckle, for me, it was like, yeah, I had a lot of street fights, so I felt like I had some kind of experience and understanding what it's like to have a fight with no gloves on. And it's a whole nother sensation. So for these people that try to transition coming from boxing or from MMA and they jump into bare knuckle, once you kind of feel them kind of strikes, it's very, very different. So for me, it was like, yeah, I'd had some experience and I was like, I feel like it's super raw. It's real, you know, it's raw. It's raw as fuck. So for me, it was like, yeah, I wanted to do that, you know, to prove it to myself, you know, who and what I am and what I'm capable of.
Every fighter has a different half-life, has a different time in the sport. To me, I still think personally you're still young. I believe you're 34, but I think the way you've taken care of yourself, I think that you can go for a decent amount of time. I want to ask you, seeing that you've had a long MMA stint and now you've had this new BKFC endeavor, as I mentioned, what do you think you want to get out of your professional career before you finish it up?
Oh, interesting. I'm looking for that big fight, that big money fight, you know, to happen. I've been fighting 18 years, you know. I've never really chased the money. I just chased the love of fighting. I love being in the gym and that being my job, to be in shape and just, you know, train and be an animal and fight and put a performance on when I have to. But obviously, I still haven't hit that kind of, you know, part in my career. I still have to work. I still have to find sponsor money. I still have to find money. I still have to, you know, still do my thing. I feel for me, it'd be nice to get one of them big fights on a big platform, get a good opportunity, and really try to display my work, because I still have so much more to show people. People don't realize, I haven't had a fight in 6 months. People don't really know how good I'm boxing right now. They don't understand how slick I am. Like, the next person I fight, mate, I'm going to be letting some shit rip. And I can't wait to display some work, mate.
I've spoken to so many different fighters from so many different martial arts, and I feel like there's a very big emphasis on the clinch component when it comes to Muay Thai fights and the BKFC ring. I think that the clinch, I love it, the single collar. I think that It makes a new dynamic to the boxing game. I think it's way more entertaining than an official boxing match with just your conventional gloves. I think they're clinching where it's no longer active and it's a place where you can relax. I think that the BKFC has made it so much more exciting that you can't relax in a place where in the street you're definitely not safe in the clinch. So do you how much time have you placed into learning the clinch, and how do you prep during camp with BKFC clinches, seeing that they're so much different to MMA clinches?
Yeah, when it comes to the clinch, mate, obviously coming from MMA and like training in Thai boxing and whatever, like I understand the clinch, I understand wrestling and grappling and like controlling the head and how it, moves around. So it's just incorporating it in sparring, really. There's not really much else to it. It's just knowing that when you're sparring, to be mindful that you can grab the head. So like in sparring, I'll throw some combinations. I'll get off at an angle and I might just go in and clinch your head. And I'll be sparring with boxers. No, heavyweights and whatnot sometimes, and like they're like, yo, what the fuck is that? Because they don't understand it, So it's understanding that when you're sparring, you're throwing combinations, you can go in for that clinch as if like you're gonna clinch an elbow or like clinch and throw something. Just clinch and you still throw your hand. So training it's just like incorporating it and making sure to be wary of it in training camp. So like in sparring, for example, making sure you're trying to still grab the head and throw the shots in. And even on the bag, I still mimic it. I'll like move, I'll like slap the bag as if I'm grabbing a head and just throw like an uppercut or like hit the body kind of thing, just to like always remember that grab the head, bing, bing, you can throw something. And it was super effective. You see my fight against Chris Fishgold in London, that was a good demonstration of that. Used it like beautiful.
Yeah, so I did look into your Instagram and I did read that you said learning this whole boxing stuff was hard and a little bit challenging coming from an MMA background. Can you delve into that? What do you think was your biggest mentality switch components in your game that you had to kind of change and merge into this new style of fighting?
I feel like, first of all, it's all in your head. That's the biggest thing. So I'm gonna say. So it's a very mindset side of things. So like, sometimes I feel like I'd fight or I'd let emotion. I'd fight with emotion and whatever. And I've got to a point where like I don't do that. Even in the gym, sparring and so forth, you get hit with some shit and you fucking flick a switch and whatever. That was the biggest change in mindset because in boxing, you're gonna get touched up. Especially boxing specifically, not bare knuckle, but the transition from MMA to boxing, understanding, like I move my head a lot. If people see me move and spar or whatever, like I move my head a lot. I'm ducking, diving, I'm weaving, I'm going in and out. In MMA, you got to be worried about getting kneed or kicked in the face, So the biggest thing for me was like trusting my ability to be able to try and move my head in certain directions. I couldn't really do that in MMA because I'm worried about getting kicked in the face. And even the stance, how my legs were, and even when I first started bare knuckle, even when I was still boxing, I was still old habits. I'd stretch my legs a lot, and it was all about closing your legs. So again, I'm like I close my legs way more. So like I understand the boxing now and the fundamentals. It's all footwork, understanding how to move your feet, getting in and out, cutting angles, and moving your head. Like in MMA, it wasn't really like that. I'd always still keep my distance and whatever. I just throw a combination and wait for normally someone to try and take me down or whatever. But yes, it's the head movement side of things, I believe, and the footwork was the biggest thing. It's like understanding the art of it, mate. It's such a rhythm, it's such a dance. But I put a lot of hours in, mate, a lot of hours, time and effort, to now be moving as slick as I am. And I can confidently say I'm moving fucking slick right now,
That's great to hear. The quote that I really resonated with that you put on your Instagram was, "If you don't fail, then you're not even trying." How's this affected your career?
Because I've had ups and downs in my career, mate, and it's like taking the positives from them and how to use that to fuel you, and take it away from like a negative or a bad situation. And I always go, for example, the biggest thing I'll probably say in a fight where I really like felt just completely not aware in the room, I was so lost, was obviously when I fought Lane, and obviously he punched the absolute shit out of my face. And it was like, it was a big step up in his experience. It was my second bare knuckle fight. You know, again, I talk about street fights and that, but when you're fighting under a spotlight with a with another professional, and you got a referee and there's rounds, like, it's a whole nother dynamic, you know? And, you know, Julian Lane, I think I was his seventh or eighth bare knuckle fight. Again, I don't necessarily rate his skill set, but he already had the experience to understand the dynamic of the sport and getting in and out. You know, his head was always away, you know, it was hard to catch him or whatever, but whatever. Anyway, for me, it was, it's like, you're going to have these fucking situations, and it's like not letting that situation, like, you know, make the decision for you. Because there's people that, for example, after that would never fight again. Like, for example, that guy that I knocked out when I was 16, he was 24. He'd just come off a win. You know, he was good. After I knocked him out, he never had a fight again. You know, completely changed his life, you know, changed his career. And then people go like that. So I've had my losses. I went on a fucking 6-fight losing streak back in the day. I was taking fights for nothing, fighting grapplers, taking me down and submitting me and shit. And like, it was like loss after loss. And it was like, what the fuck am I doing? You know? And it's like, people wouldn't continue, but I did. And I'm still in this fucking grind, mate, to still try and prove to myself that I can be a good fucking fighter. And that, like, you know, all them other shits are like lessons, you know? It's all a mindset thing, mate, really is. But yeah, anyway, so.
Are you a fan of Mike Perry?
I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a fan. I think he's a tough cookie. Like, I like what he does bring to bare knuckle in the sport. And obviously, he's the face of the company right now, really. As a fight opportunity, as an opponent side of things, I think I could dance around him and piece him up personally, and I truly believe that. I think I'd be an absolute fucking problem for him. But other than that, yeah, you know, he's brought attention to the sport, man. He's, you know, as a prime example, with Luke Rockhold coming into the sport as a beginner newbie of bare knuckle, and this is what I say to people, people want to make this transition and think, you know, I've had fights that you've got experience. When you get fucking it in the mouth, mate, with no gloves on, and you're feeling, you know, a brick hit you, it's very, very different, you know? And like, Perry showed that. And that was a beautiful demonstration. So that's what I mean. Like, you know, he's a tough cookie, mate. He's good. I think if I was to have a scrap with him, I think we're going to definitely go a few rounds. I think it'll be a bloody absolute mess. It's such a exciting idea in my head, but you know, what will be, you know.
Do you want any of those MMA guys that are coming over, like your Eddie Alvarez, your Chad Mendez? Do you want those guys?
Give them shits to me all day, of course. Like, yeah, no problem, you know. Yeah, all day, mate. Like, I'll welcome them, no problem. Got no issue in doing so, you know. I'm looking for good and exciting fights, mate. You know, I've had 6 bare knuckle fights now, I've got my good experience there. Obviously, I've got like over 30 MMA fights, my kickboxing fights, K1 fights, I've had boxing fights. Like, bro, I've been doing this shit for 18 years. You know, I haven't got a contract with anyone right now. I'm completely like open to, you know, I'm just looking for a good opportunity and good fights and good matchups, mate. Doesn't matter if it's boxing, if it's on Misfits boxing against the right opportunity, opponent, anything. I just, you know, I want people to see like real fights, mate. I'm never in a boring fight, you know? And I'm just looking for something fun, mate.
Has the BKFC come to you with an offer for any fight, seeing that you just said that you don't have a contract and you're a free agent right now?
So BJ Flores is taking care of things as of right now for me. So he's working on a couple of little projects. So yeah, we're literally just waiting back on information from a few different parties, honestly. So I have nothing to even announce or talk about as of now. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, hopefully, man, hopefully, bruv, I'll get something like in the pipeline in the next week or two or some shit. I just need something to talk about. I want something to be like going to fight for. And wherever it's going to be, I'm going to go there to take someone's head off. So yeah, I need a fight, mate, so bad. It's been 6 months or whatever it is. Fucking going mental.
Let me ask you about your training with Dead Urban Survival Training. When did you link up with the main man, and what did you work on?
So is that one more time with who?
Dead Urban Survival Training.
You're talking about Dead Urban?
The guy with the, he's always wearing some commando type gear. He's got a mustache.
Commando thing, bald head, glasses all the time, like Jack dude. He does all the fucking flipping tires and all the mad shit, a lot of shooting and that.
Well, there's that dude, but the guy I'm talking about's the guy that always does the like Aikido. He'll disarm you if you have a pistol.
Oh, sorry, fuck, the comedian dude.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I was super baffled. I thought you were talking about fucking what's the other dude's name? I'm having a complete brain fart.
That's all right, bro.
But yeah, anyway, sorry. I met him when I was in Puerto Rico. When I was in camp with Jake Paul. He come in. Yo, listen. As much as his shit is all funny, like his stuff is legit. You know, a lot of his work is like really legit. Like he little pressure points on the chin, in the eye, up the nose, things on your head. Like, yeah, he actually taught me a couple of little things, like real talk. Cause we had some good information. Cause I worked the doors. I was a bouncer for like 4 or 5 years, like back in London, and so I was just telling about past experiences and situations I've been in. And he told me a couple situations also. So we chopped it out in conversation, and then yeah, he showed me some actual real stuff. And man, it was super cool, super interesting dude. Him and his wife. But yeah, we had fun there. So we did have fun.
You just mentioned that was around the time where you were hanging out and working with Jake Paul. So what are your opinions on his skill level and him as a person, seeing that you got to see him not in front of a camera, you got to see him when he's not playing a character?
Yeah, honestly, mate, I say it to everybody, like I genuinely, and I'm not one to suck ass, bro, but like I do really respect him, you know. He's not, yeah, man, like we... You know, he's on a set schedule. He fucking, like, you know, he trains double hard, mate. He is working hard in the gym. Like, hats off to him, bro. Like, he is grafted. Try it, you know. And that, to me, was inspiring. I respect that, you know. And even when we're sparring, he's doing eight rounds, you know, like, round after round, whatever. And he'll have, like, me for, like, 4 rounds or whatever, and someone else for another. So, like, he's got fresh opponents. And we're giving him work, you know. I'm giving him work, mate, you know. And like even off camera, like, you know, the back of his crib a couple of times, just like chilling out the front or whatever, just like after we go for a run and so forth, and like just hanging out. It's just like everyone, bro, just like normal people, man, you know. Like, his energy and that to be around, he's cool, you know. He's cool. He's not... Yeah, I get treated well. Everyone's well. Everyone's cool. All the coaches are cool, like Jay Leon and stuff. You know, like, yeah, everyone's proper sweet, mate. And he's cool, mate. He works hard. You know, it was good to see. You know, I'm impressed with where he's got. I've been with him for 3 fight camps now. Ben Askren, Tyrone Woodley, and then this one. So to see even his progression, and even my boxing in that time has got way better. Since like 2020 or 2021 or something, like, so since then, or 2021, yeah, a couple of years ago, yeah, a few years ago, yeah, something like that, whatever. But yeah, he's putting the work in, mate. I'm excited to see what's gonna be next. I still can't believe people still think like his shit's fake and whatever. Like, he's banging people's heads off, mate. You know, like, I felt his power, like. He is hard, bro. You know, he's a strong lad. And yeah, crazy.
One thing that I kind of had a little bit of difficulty understanding was you wrote, patience is when you're supposed to get mad, but you choose to understand. Why do you think that it's a choice?
Say that again.
Patience is when you're supposed to get mad or upset, but you choose to understand.
it's accepting the situation. So when you blow up about something, be patient about something. I've been patient even about waiting for my fight and what's next. And it's like accepting it and not being like, yo, what the fuck is what's going to be next? When you can accept that and just be like, yo, just chill and just like let it, you know, manifest it, think about it, and just trying to not dwell on it. That's, I feel that's the concept I went with. You know, with anything that goes in life, you know, is being patient and understanding certain situations. And sometimes I find it hard, like the way my mind works, mate. Like sometimes it's difficult.
How do you embrace adversity day in and day out? It's easy to do it one day. It's easy to do it for a week, a month. But when you're doing year after year, every single day, a lot of people wither away. And we see a lot of people who were great fighters turn into a shell of their previous self. But you're looking stronger than ever. You're looking more motivated than ever. And you've been doing it forever. So why do you think that is?
Honestly, mate, I feel like, I fucking know I've got way more to give and to deliver, to grow with, right? And I always feel like I just want to prove myself to myself. It's weird. I get asked questions, I've been asked before, like, what do you find for inspiration? And for me, bro, it's like my old self. Like, I see certain shits, or like, even I'll be on Instagram and I'll be in my archives, like, 6-7 months ago, and I'll be looking at stuff and it'll cringe me out, and I'll be like, yo, what? I posted that, like, what? And it's like, I just want to prove myself to myself that I can do it, because it's always a mental, you're doing it for you. Obviously, yeah, you're to help your other people, whatever, but it's still to make me feel good, you know? So yeah, it's like being in shape and like being strong and fast and athletic, it's like that takes so much work and effort, but at the same time it's very rewarding in how it makes me feel as a man. And I'm always, yeah, just feel like I'm always trying to prove myself to myself, like, oh, you can do better, or like, you know, like you're sitting around being like, you know, I talk to myself a lot, bro, you know. So I don't want to be a fat fucking bum doing nothing. I can do so much with my life, and I know that I can. So, like, just keep chipping away, mate. Just got to wake up and keep grinding. You know, same thing. Like, no excuse. I still have my off days like anybody, you know. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, like, fuck that. You got to just keep going, bro. You know?
Do you end up talking to yourself during the fights?
I have done quite a few times. Yeah.
What are you mainly saying?
Like, I've had a couple, like, harder times, but then I've had, like, good ones. Tell you a good one. I remember when I was fighting in London, and I was fighting Chris Fishgold. I was nervous for that fight. I had a bunch of other shit going on, like, dealing with immigration and some other stuff, and I was stressing, bruv, like, yo, through the roof. And I wasn't even really thinking about the fight and whatever, but obviously I studied him and so forth, but I was like, yo, he's got knockout power. He, you know, if he catches me on my chin, this is like most people, if he catches me, you know, might sit me down, where you have your negative thoughts. But I remember in that fight, I showed the fudge up, mate, and I remember like jabbing him, and I was hitting him and like pulling out, and I remember hitting him with my jab and pulling back, hitting my jab, and I was like, nice jab, mate. I was like, yeah, lovely jab. I was like, on that stick. I was like, just pop him with that jab, bang. And I was hitting him, and I was like, yeah, mate, that was lovely. And even after the first round, you see me, I'm like, bing, like, whatever, the round finishes, and I'm walking back to the corner. I'm like, warming up. And I'm like, laughing. You know, I was like, warming up. And like, yeah, I don't know. It was just like, I felt like it was a sparring day. I felt like it was no stress, like, I don't know. And then during the fight, I was just complimenting my jab, and I'd move and duck and weave and miss a lot of his shit. He didn't touch me, and I'd move, and I'd be like, and I said to myself, that was sick. I was like, that was sick. I was like, yeah, that was sick. So yeah, but I just remember that specifically. But yeah, I've had some bad ones. I'm like, yo, you got to get up, boy. Like, yo, I'll be knocked down, put my ass a bunch of times. Obviously, I've been knocked down and so forth, but Yeah.
Why do you fight?
So that's an interesting question. And people ask that, why do I fight? I don't know what it is, mate. I don't know what it is. Like, I like being able to like hit someone and hit somebody with skill and it looked good. I enjoy delivering the violence. Real talk, I do. And like, I don't mind getting cracked. You know, I've been cracked up into being knocked out. So like, I understand the levels of being hit, like being cut, taking a pounding, whatever. But it's like, I don't know. It's like, it's just like proving it to myself. Like, I feel like fucking gladiator, bro. When I get in that ring, mate, and there's just two of us in there, and it's like in my head, thinking it's like, you know, one man's got to step out. And that's, it's so powerful. Like, as a human, as a, I don't know, as a man, as a fucking alpha, I don't know, whatever was that, it. But like, just, yeah, putting my skills and my toughness on the line against somebody else's skills and their toughness and trying to take them out. And doing that in front of people as well, it's like, it's so rewarding. I love fighting. And I've fought for nothing, mate. Nothing. I've had fights that have cost me money. Like, because I've had to have surgeries after and shit. Like, so I love fighting. You know, I grew up fighting as a kid. And I don't know, I like it, bro. I just love it. I like the test. I like, yeah, and especially with the bare knuckle. Like, it don't really get much more extreme than that, you know? So when you're in there with another alpha, like someone tough, like Mike Perry as an example, and it's like, I want to be that man that knocks him out, that stops it, you know? Like, how rewarding that is. Feel me?
Do results ever happen overnight?
Say that again.
Do results ever happen overnight?
They do not at all. At all. You've got to be so consistent, mate. You slip up for 2 days doing some bullshit, you are back to not square one, but you are taking back steps. It's a constant grind. It's a constant mindset. You got to create good habits, and all them habits create power in yourself when you're controlling the bullshit, the eating, whatever, like, alcohol, whatever people doing, drugs or junk food, whatnot. When you control all of that, you tell yourself, I want to go to bed at 10:30, and then you go get in bed at 10:30. It's so rewarding. But yeah, it just takes consistent work, mate. It's a constant drive. It really is. It's a locked-in mindset. And it's not saying, with anything, whatever it may be, nothing comes overnight, mate. Nothing. You got to just, again, wear patience. It's where you got to accept certain things and be patient, mate. And know that it's a small little percentage every day that chips away. But by the end of that 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks of doing whatever it was consistently, you're like, damn, way better when you compare it to 4 weeks ago. Whether it's a slower process for others or a faster one for other people, it's like everyone's different, but yeah, it's a constant grind, bro. Like, you want to wake up and choose violence, you got to try and wake up and choose violence on a daily and just try and keep that mindset switched on that you're going to wake up and crush a day. Have a good day, mate. You better brush your teeth. Like, everything positive, keep it solid. And there'll be days that you don't want to do that shit. It's just, you know, accepting it.
Life isn't about the storm, waiting for the storm to pass. It's about how to dance in the rain. What does this mean to you?
That means same shit, mate. You can wake up. I'm like a yo-yo. Sometimes I blow hot. Sometimes I blow cold. You know, my head sometimes is a bit here and a bit there, whatever. So it's like, you know, riding them storms, bruv, like anything, life situations, something's just cracked you in the face, mate. I don't know, you lost your car. I lost my car, bro. I didn't have a car for 2 months. Do you know how much of a pain in the ass that was? How much of a problem that was? It wasn't that simple. I had, you know, struggling with that financially to be able to then go get this, this, and this, and be able to just go rent a car and whatever. And it was like trying to survive around it. That's just at Wine and Storm, but let alone any other storm that anyone goes through in life, mate. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors with anybody, even with myself or even with you. I don't know, like, your deepest, darkest secrets and, you know, where you've been mentally before. And I'm sure that's, you know, a storm that you had to weather, or somebody or these other people have had to weather, you know? And that is what I mean by that. It really is. It's like not letting something hit you in the face and you accepting the punch in the face and riding the storm. Like, Julian Lane punching me in the face. And I'm like, in such a bad spot, and I want to stop. But I'm like, nope, keep punching me in the face. Just weather this storm. Pow, pow, pow. Okay, pow, pow, pow. And I'm eating that shit, pissing out with blood. But I'm like, no, weather that storm. You know? It's just, yeah. It's just how it is. That's what I mean.
We've spoken about the downs in sport. I've seen your ups. So you get emotional because of how much you've put in. So when you get emotional in that up, what does that feel like? What is the fulfilling part about getting the result that you desire after working so hard for it?
Well, you don't get that unless you put the work in and proves what you just did had earned that. So that's what makes that shit priceless. It's not something you can buy. That sensation, that... I remember when I did turn up in London... Man, like, I was nervous and whatnot. My weight kind of was, everything was great. Everything was good. Good vibes. Good, good, good. And I was still like, fuck, I'm still coming. I was coming up with a loss against Ricci. And the fight before that was the Lane loss, you know. And it was like the start of my MMA career. Same thing. I'd had a few wins and then fucking 6 losses on the spin. It's like, where's my career going, bro? Like, what the fuck? And you have many people down to even like my dad, like, yo, do you want to knock this on the head, or like, are you going to actually like, try, like, what, you know? It's like, do I keep fighting or what? And to still be fighting, bro, it's crazy. And I kind of lost lost where I was going. What was the fucking, what did you say?
It's about ups and downs. You get on the ups.
So yeah, oh yeah, crying on the ups, yeah. It's because it's like I proved it to myself. Like I say, bro, like as much as it's for everybody else, like it's for you, mate. Like bro, I worked so fucking hard. It's the same shit, you know. And it's like there's these fucking idiots that can't fight for shit or about it easy that are fucking so successful, mate. And it's like, I'm still not there. And it's like, I fight so hard and I'll fuck up most people. So yeah, it's just like, I work so hard, mate. So then when you go in and you fucking fuck someone up like I did with Fisher, I broke his eye socket, stopped him in round 2. It's like, I was so proud of myself for that. Yeah.
Why do you think you're able to handle that pressure? Have you stayed in that pressure and really thought about it for longer than others, do you think?
As in, like, where I'm at in life as a fighter, like 18 years in, you mean?
Well, more that whenever people can train, people can have everything going well for them, but the second that the fight starts, there's a lot of people where... even if they've got all the skills to win, they still can't win because they've been defeated mentally by themselves. So
It's the same thing. It's a mental fucking fart, mate. In the gym, me hitting mitts, sparring. Bro, I'm a beast, mate. Happily and proudly will tell you, like, I can fight, mate. You know, I'll fight anybody. I'm proud of my work ethic and what I've done and what I've accomplished, you know. But then sometimes under that spotlight, that dude don't show up, mate, you know. And that's the worst thing, because, like, I lost the fight. You did not beat me. Like, I have fucked it up because I can beat you, but I messed it up here. And that's a big factor over my whole career, brother. It's been in here always. You know, but yeah, I've challenged that way better now.
seeing that you're challenging it and fighting against that, fighting against yourself to actually be good in the fight up against others, I want to ask you, what advice do you have to other fighters that haven't done what you have done and are in a position where they're not getting what they want? How what would you say to them? How do you handle pressure?
Yeah, again, it's like weathering the storm. When it's like, no. Ask me again. Let me think about that.
It's more to help others that if you're there and there's adversity and you're standing in there and learning through sheer effort to get to a point where you can handle the pressure, what about the fighters that ask you for advice that do break, that have the potential to be world class, but need that final step to get past that boundary and handle the pressure to be their best self?
How bad do you want it, and how can you accept the loss or the losses and learn and grow from them and see how you messed up or why? And if it was not your ability, but it was on the night and it was a mental fart, then you got to deal with that as a mental thing. You know, I spoke to a psychology coach, a sports psychologist coach, one time, one conversation. All I needed. I didn't change anything else. And my biggest thing was my fucking ego. I had some 16-year-old kid in the gym. My boy Lorenzo Medina, his little brother, Laz. He's 16, yeah? Nothing. He's light as fuck, like 160 brother. I turned up, whatever, like, nothing. Well, like, I trained with him. I haven't moved around with him in a while. But we're moving around, and he was like, bing, 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 bop. Mate, listen, he would light me up like a fucking Christmas tree. And I got so outraged, and the coach was like, yo, Jack, and I was like, yo, just let me fuck it. And I was just like, they had to just like let it out. I was crying. This was in the gym against a little 16-year-old, bro. He can box. Let me get this straight. He can fight, mate. And he was lighting me up. So skillful with his boxing. But lighting me up. I took my headgear off, and I was like, come on, just like hit me. And I wouldn't even stand in my corner in between the rounds. I had a couple rounds where I did. It was just like wild. I spoke to the psychologist coach that night. We're talking, and then he mentioned my ego. And I was like, yo, it's my fucking ego. Because I think where I am in life and what I've done and accomplished and like fights, people I've knocked out. I've knocked out so many people, mate. I can't tell you, I've knocked out countless amount of people. And I feel I've got this 16-year-old kid lighting me up like this. I feel like I don't want to fight again, you know? So it was like an ego thing. And I went to sparring legit. 4 days later, had such great sparring, no problems. And it's all mental. It's so, so mental. So for anybody that's, on the come up and, you know, things ain't really swaying your way, pay attention to, you know, your training partners. That's a big thing, you know, who you're around. You know, you want to be making sure you're being coached by the right people and wrapped around the right people. You're not necessarily going to know if you are or not, but, you know, having good people around you and that. And if you're having losses and so forth, or you have doubts, you know, you got to really think, like, how bad do you want it? How much can you weather? You know, like, bruv, it gets hard that you want to quit. And then when you don't quit, you overcome something else. Like, you proven it for me. I proved it to myself. Look, like, nah, I ain't gonna quit. Like, can't let, nah. Let me try again. Like, it was as if I'm playing Call of Duty. I die and I like respawn. It's like, nah, let me try again. Bro, I'd lost this for a couple of years. I didn't even felt what a win was like. I didn't even know what it felt like, bro. I've forgotten. And then I pulled off a win and it was like, that's what I was driving for. That sensation. You know, that drug of choice, as I would say, you know. So yeah, just keep grinding, man. You gotta just stay on it. Really gotta just stay on it. And how bad you want it.
Did you love fighting? If you weren't fighting, and let's say you existed maybe thousands of years ago, do you think that you would love to be some sort of soldier or a Spartan or something?
100%. Feed me them big ass dinners. I'll go out with my sword and do my best to put on such a display. And like, yeah, 100%, mate. I honestly feel, I know how tough I am. I know what I can withstand. I know what I can deliver. I know I'm the real deal, mate, you know, and I feel like, back in the day, I definitely would have been one of them people that would have been willing to be on that, testing that for sure. Hell yeah.
Okay. Who was your favorite fighter from your career that you think maybe influenced your style the most?
Honestly, I probably would say Mike Tyson. I would honestly say probably Mike Tyson. I studied and watched him like back in the day, obviously. And just understanding, like, because I've got a short torso and I think he's like an inch taller than me. And like, I understand the fundamentals of how he would move and shit. And like, I can move very similar. And like, I understand our head movement and whatever. So I used to watch a lot of him and just such a savage, bro. Like, he's just such a savage, just banging everyone. So yeah, like, for me, that was, so yeah, it's a bad man. I'd like to be a bad man like that. That's fucking lit. So I'd say Mike Tyson. And I've been yet to meet him, and I cannot wait for that day, mate.
Let's talk about your work with the neuroscientist. How'd you guys link up, and what did you learn from the test that they did on your brain?
How did he come about? I think he reached out to me or my girl, and I can't remember, whatever. I don't know, we reached out, and then we just, he wanted to, you know, do a scan and whatever, and check out my brain activity. So he come around to my crib and so forth, and obviously you see in the video how he does it, puts it in, they put like this gel stuff in, puts all these things on my head. And he was actually quite impressed with my brain. Because obviously I've had concussions, I've been knocked out, I've been banged in the head for years, and I haven't had anything really done to my head. I had to have a brain scan or whatever, like the bare knuckle, like, you know, not too long ago, but other than that, I haven't had anything. So it was good to just sort of see my brain activity. And it was some simple things like, I've got an issue, like I'm 100 miles an hour all day, every day. I find it hard to switch off, like I really do. So my issue is with my brain waves and so forth, is that when I'm up, it stays up, but my down, like, when it's down, it's down. But the in-between, that connection from the up to then that whatever, the transfer to fucking make you chill out, that was my biggest issue, is that that's always firing. I think it's like an ADD thing, bro, honestly. Like, I know what little habits I've got. I've never been diagnosed with anything or whatever, but I know my little traits and how I am and what I do. And like, I already know I'm a little messed up. But my brain was healthy. I was actually supposed to speak to him the other day. No, saying that actually, we're gonna have do another little have a little go again since obviously our last meeting.
That's interesting that you said that about switching off, because that's something that I have difficulty with. I can never do that, and it's very funny that you said ADD, because I've never been diagnosed with anything, but I've always had something where it's like very, very hyperactive with a level of intensity that's like, why are you getting intense about doing a simple task? There's no reason. And it's obsession. It's obsession.
Yeah, look. But that's how I try to go, that mindset, when I'm in the gym, like I have a fight coming up, I'm in camp, I get obsessed with it, you know, and I'm like locked in, you know, and that's what's powerful about it. So there's pros and cons to it if you know how to kind of control it.
I think it's a blessing in disguise. I think it's a little superpower.
I think it's a little superpower, mate. I do.
People want to get to that level. It's not that they choose not to. They can't. They want to get there.
Yeah. But we're like, I'm like programmed like that all the time.
Let me ask you about this little quote. Pain unlocks a secret doorway into the mind. Even with my training, I'm only 20. I try and train hard. When I'm training and I get to the point where it's burning and I feel like quitting, the amount of fulfillment that I get from not quitting and the amount of regret that I feel from quitting pushes me to chase even higher and harder positions in my own mind. And I just feel like that's just the answer to everything. It's just the second that it's painful, it's supposed to be painful. That's everybody runs away from it. But if you can just stay in there for just a singular minute, your whole day will be changed by one little decision. And knowing that next time you're in there, 100% you're going to choose the right decision.
100%. So, yeah, like, same with anything. Like, you start somewhere, you got to progress in anything. Like, a cold plunge. Prime example, cold plunge. You might not even be able to get in it at 38 degrees. Might be way too cold for you. I don't like that. I still don't even really get in that kind of temperature because I think it's disgusting and that cold. But let's just say, and you want to put it at 60. All right, cool. You put it at 60 and you get it for 30 seconds. And you're like, you cannot stand it. You want to get out. You want to quit. When you start pushing past that point where you want to get out and you're like, you'll see me train on YouTube with Phil DeRue. And like, I'm doing a sled and it's hard work. And I'll be like, fuck this sled. And I'll go attack it. I get like that about anything. I want to quit or whatever. I'm like, fuck that shit. Like, no. Let's go, you know? Same thing, being in the sauna. I want to get out. I'm like, let me stay in a little bit longer. I'll do another minute. It is rewarding because it gets to a point where you feel like you're maxing out. But can you push it a little bit more? How much do you want to try and feel? How much can you accept, you know? And it's accepting it. Being in the cold plunge and accepting the cold, standing in that bitch for like 5 minutes, then you're getting out of it and you're like, your whole mindset is so different, you know? And it's just starting somewhere, whether it be something small, but then increasing it. A run, there's people that, I've had people say to me, I can't go over a mile run. I'm like, bro, go for 2 miles, but run and walk. You can run, but then when you get tired, not stop and walk it. Bro, the amount of people I've had do that and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I was out, done 2 miles. And they're like, changed because there's something that they couldn't even feel is accomplished. I'm like, no, you can go out for 2 miles, but like run and walk it, like run and jog it. And then just try to speed that up, you know, and they would. And it was like, yo, and then crushing it, you know, completely changing shit. So it's just like, you got to push past some boundaries. You're going to feel some pain. There's injury pain and there's pain of like, yeah, I could do with stopping right now, but I could keep going. So fuck it, I'm going to keep going rather than thinking, no, okay, I'm going to just stop. You know, it's just suffer a little bit more and it is rewarding. You keep going, brother. It is like my that fight in London was like so satisfying because I kept grinding, coming off of the losses, good fights or whatever, but because I kept grinding and then when I got that sensation, I was fucking crying my eyes out, mate, because it felt so earned, you know?
How priceless and invaluable was it to have your father watch you go to war?
That, for me, is the best shit ever, bro. I'm absolutely blessed that I got young, healthy parents that support and love what I do. My dad's not missed a fight unless he literally weren't allowed to fly, which was through COVID time. Other than that, my dad has been at every fight. And for me, yeah, my dad's my best friend, bro. Like, me and my dad are on, we got so much history together, bro. Good stuff, bad stuff. Me and my dad have a lot of history, mate. So when my dad's by me and I'm trying to fuck someone up and my dad's there like, go on, son. I'm like, my balls do feel extra big, for sure.
Final question for today is about your circle. Why do you keep it small? Why is that important?
There's a lot of people that want a piece of the pie, son. And I feel trust is really, you know, I trust has got to be earned. Situation. So like having people in your life and around what you're doing, your business, knowing your personal stuff, like and that energy transfer and whatnot. There's certain things I'll share with people and certain things I don't. Like, I keep my, bro, I've learned to keep my mouth shut again just from growing up. And, like, you know, you hear some good gossip and you want to, you know, you've been told not to say nothing, but then you do. You know, everyone does it. You know, we've all done it. But, like, dumb shit and how that shit has bit me in the ass, bro, and how I've learned how, like, how easy it is for people to talk and stab you in the back, bro, like, out of nowhere, bro. Like, I've legit got a handful of friends. You know, I've got people I speak to, you know, I've got a few friends in the UK and stuff, obviously, that I talk to again, just, you know, through the phone and so forth. But over here, I actually hang out or go and see maybe like 5-6 people, maybe, you know. Yeah, man, like keeping your circle tight. And like having people that really like know your business, I think is, you gotta just keep your mouth shut a little bit and keep some of your life just to like for you and what you got. You know, don't let everyone in on everything. Honestly, you know, I don't know. I just feel like certain things will bite you, and you don't know who certain people are. You know, it's getting to know people, but just yeah. Keep it all preserved, you know. Associates is something else, but then like a friendship or like my bestie or like someone I'm going to, you know, take a birthday gift to and, you know, really make a serious effort with, they're different people, you know.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Jake, for coming on the show. Is there any final remarks you want to give to the fans at home as we wrap up the podcast? There might be some words of wisdom, some advice. What do you have for the people?
Man, like, yeah, whatever storm you're going through, ride the storm, because there will be some kind of sunlight at the end. You will see some light when the rain disappears, part when it dispenses, you know. Now for anyone training and like, you know, really trying to accomplish anything, like really put your efforts in, but at the same time don't close off like your close ones, your loved ones, like your family members. You know, life's short. Enjoy what you've got. You know, be thankful for what you've got. Yeah, just be a good person. Yeah.
Follow Jake on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat everywhere. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.